We move now to the third part of our reflection, which is going to be on the book of Revelation, which is the reading, the second preparatory reading. Revelation 5, 11 to 14. It's a vision of heaven and its splendor. And while we're standing there at Mass, you know, it's kind of hard to get the whole impact. But if you take this home, if you have a missal, or if you get a magazine like Magnificat or Word Among Us or one of those, pick it up and read this text and meditate on it and ask the Holy Spirit to open up for you the splendor that it witnesses to. Okay. So the text says, you see, this is 5:11-14. And I looked, or I, John, looked. They put I, John, in the translation because, you know, in the text you don't need it. And heard the voices of many angels who surrounded the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They were countless in number. Now this is, you know, a time to reflect. We've gotten so globe-centered that we think we're the only conscious or intelligent people in the world. No. There are, we don't know, millions of angels. And then the elders who have been raised, the proverb refers to the really great saints who take their place among the angels. As Zoe said, Saint Francis is up there, and there are plenty more who are up there. Many who have suffered greatly in this life and been very purified and very identified with Jesus. Now forever they are among the elders with the angels, having an unimaginable happiness for the rest of existence, for time, eternity. That's where we're going. And that's why, you see, in these Easter liturgies, this third Sunday, our thoughts are raised. Where are we going? How long are we going to be there? Forever, my friends, forever. One place or another. There's a stopping station on the way to heaven to get us ready if we need it. But if we're trying to pray every day and obeying the Lord, forgiving our enemies and caring for the poor, we might just go straight there. There are plenty of beautiful hidden souls besides the great saints whom the Lord can so purify in this life that they can go right straight up to the Lord. Wouldn't that be glorious? I'm thinking right now of someone I know. When she died, I've told you this whole story before, I'm trying to keep it short. She was Sister Breege McKenna's stepmother, because her real mother died when she was very young. And Breege was starting on her first healing ministry, if you know who she is. She's very famous, has great gift of healing, and travels the world with Father Kevin Scallon to preach to the Lord and to heal. Anyway, she was just starting when she heard that this, her godmother, the only mother she really knew, was dying. And so, oh my gosh. And so she called the Mother Superior, who said, "Well, you pray and you decide whether you want to go home or go on the tour." She asked a few other people. And then the Lord said to her, "You've asked everybody but me. Why don't you come and ask me what I want?" So she said, "Well, what do you want, Lord?" He said, "I want you to go on that mission trip for a month, you know, preaching and healing. And I guarantee you when you come back, your aunt will still be alive and you'll still see her again." So Breege obeyed. Well, the aunt tells the story that people thought she died. She said, what happened was, I went, and I was going down this long, dark corridor, and there was a big light at the end, and it was Jesus. When I got there, he said, go home, go back, and wait for Breach. So she did. And Breach came, and so Breach saw her one more time, and they prayed together, and all the rest. And then she went to him. So, it's possible. It's the only reason I told you that story. So, you see, I, John, looked and heard the voices of many angels who surrounded the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They were countless in number. And they cried out in a loud voice. You could hear their spirit rejoicing in God. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb to pour out our lives for Him in this world and to pour out our love forever. The Lamb who was slain. You see, and now He receives power and riches and wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing, and the love and the gratitude of all the saved. You see? Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe, the whole universe is crying out to the one who sits on the throne. That's the Father. And to the Lamb. Be blessing and honor, glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures, these mysterious, powerful creatures that are in the book of Revelation, they all call out, Amen. And these mysterious elders fell down and worship. And John is seeing all this. Now, why does he write it? Why does the church put it here for us? Huh? To encourage us. Where are you going? You know, how much longer do you think you have in this world? And then where are you going to go? Wouldn't you love to just, Therese said, when I leave this world, God is going to get off His throne and hug me and say, now it's my turn. For eternity, my turn. To fill you with delight and joy, intimacy and love, unimaginable. Now it's my turn. And so that's what John sees here, you see. The voices and the living creatures and the Lamb who was slain. In other words, in heaven, the Lamb still carries the marks of His slaughter. As it says in another place in the book of Revelation, the Lamb bearing the marks of His slaughter, which is quite powerful, isn't it? I want to read what our text here says. I don't see that lamb. That was said. The lamb that was sacrificed. Yeah, you see, it's the lamb that still bears the marks of having been slaughtered. He has holes in his wrists where they put the big nails. He's got a hole through his two feet. He's got a huge wound in his side, out of which came blood and water, which cleansed the whole universe. That's who He is. And, boy, it's worth listening to Him. It's worth coming to Him for help. It's worth turning away from sin. It's worth striving to love Him and to love everybody and forgive everybody. It's worth it. This is where we go. And that's why these texts at Easter time, because we are the fruit of the resurrection, the passion of the resurrection. And He's the first fruit of all those, you see? And so that's our text. And it shows us how powerful is the death of Christ. He has filled heaven with light. The angels who didn't sin, they were there. Everybody else is the fruit of his blood. Everybody. Whether you go, the blood that anticipated his, you know, the blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel, it says in the book of Revelation. You see, it's our Lord Jesus, and that's the one. And so, you see, these texts in this Easter season are meant to recall our minds to the ultimate reality that we face. We're busy all the time, and we're listening to all the news and frightened by all the television. And the Lord is saying, look where you're going. Look what I have done for you. Look at the place reserved for you by my blood. Come to me. If you've sinned, confess your sins. Be reconciled. Live by my spirit. Live by my body and blood. Love everybody. Forgive everybody. Tell everybody about me and who I am. Give other people a chance to know this. And when you get to heaven, the Father will get off his throne, come down and embrace you and say, now it's my turn. See, this time of year, we think about heaven, where we're going. There'll be plenty of time right after Pentecost. All the Gospels, all the readings are how we have to live. We'll get plenty of instruction. Here, we're getting yearning, motivation. We're not going to be here forever. And the Lord is promising us an unimaginable joy. And that's what this text is saying, you see. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing. He's worthy of everything we can give him. Love, honor, praise, gratitude. He's worthy of all of that. Not only because he accomplished such a great work of redemption, but because of the love for us with which he did it. As hard as it is to imagine, the saints and mystics tell us, on that cross, he was aware of everybody. Think of that. And think of where we're going. That's why we have this beautiful text on this Sunday of Easter time.